Please turn with me tonight to that first reading from the prophet Joel. Joel chapter 2. And I read from verse 11. Joel chapter 2, verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executed his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, said the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repented him of the evil. I would like to approach these verses in a very simple manner, and my title tonight is Rend Your Heart, from verse 13. Rend your heart, not your garment. This is what God is inviting us to do. And just a few words of introduction, even before we look at the verses. My dear friends, Joel is God's spokesman. And God is giving us his invitation. And this invitation is to all. No one is excluded, without exception, to all. We will see it in a moment. But he is giving us also a challenge for our souls. And we keep on reminding people that man is not just physical. There is the spiritual part in you and me. It's not all about the body. The inner man, your soul, your real you, and the real me is about your soul. And God is giving this challenge to our souls through his prophet. But the challenge comes with the trumpet of God's grace. The challenge comes with the trumpet of God's mercy. Verse 13, and you have seen it. There are attributes of God there. We will come to them in a moment. But the challenge comes also with God's long-suffering. God is slow to anger. But the challenge comes also with the Lord's kindness. My dear friends, look, verse 12. It's all in front of you. Just a few words, as I said, of introduction. What is God telling you and me? Turn to me. Verse 12. Then in verse 13, he says again, rend your heart, not your garments. And still in verse 13, I hope you see the gracious invitation there. God says again, turn unto the Lord. Turn unto the Lord. Oh, my dear friends, Joel, as you know, is one of the earliest minor prophets. And his prophecy is actually about many disasters. But the greatest thing that is going to happen in this world, my dear friends, the prophet Joel calls it the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. And that day will be a day of judgment. Just imagine the biggest stadium in the world. There is no man that could build such a stadium. But all the human race, from the past, from the present, and from the future, all of us will be gathered, and God is going to judge each one of us, one by one, one by one, according to the way we have dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior God himself has sent on this earth. But my dear friends, Joel, the name Joel, even we could spend just by his name means actually the Lord, he alone is God, which means there is no other God except the God of the Bible. That's the meaning of his name. So he speaks to us about the day of the Lord, which will be a day of judgment, universal judgment, where Christ, according to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, verse 42, that this world is going to be judged by one man. And that man is called the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to judge the living and the dead. No one will escape. But Joel also speaks about disasters, natural disasters. He speaks about calamities. We don't like to hear about these things. Joel speaks also about catastrophes, things that have never been heard, that are going to happen in our world. Some of them have already happened. Some are going to happen. And this is why, before again we enter into the text, my brothers and sisters, people ask every day, why sufferings? Why the global warming? It's political. And so on. Why so many endemic, epidemic, and pandemic proportions, things that are happening in this world? Why these things are happening? Why all these illnesses? Why natural disasters? Why hurricanes? People are asking. But you see, if you read and heed to the word of God, all these mini judgments, I call them mini judgments because there will be the great judgment. All these small judgments are just to warn us. Wake up! Wake up! What are you doing with your soul? What are you doing with your life? Are you just living for the here and now? Are we just like beasts? Are we just like trees? Are we just like animals living for the here and now? But you see, your spiritual disaster, or if I may find the nicest words, the kindest words to explain these things to you tonight. Your spiritual disaster is right there at your footstep, at your doorstep. You don't have to go anywhere to find your disaster, your spiritual disaster, if you neglect the most important part of you. Even when you have the smallest pain, you want to find a solution. You want to go and see your GP. But the greatest pain, the greatest dollar, the greatest tragedy in you and me is to find a solution, a medication, a remedy, a cure for our souls. But we neglect our souls. And Joel is giving us these warnings, my dear friends, to say, you need to seek and find the Lord Jesus Christ while there is time, while you still live in this earth. But my dear friends, you see, like an old preacher, the old days, the open-air preachers, like a watchman, Joel is saying, please listen, hear, and heed to God's voice. But you may say, all what Pastor Ibrahim said tonight is gloomy. But you see, in the midst, that's where I want to draw your attention. In the midst of so many gloominess, of so much gloominess and darkness, in the midst of so many bad news, disasters, Joel tells us that God is stretching out his hand to save men and women. I have five very simple headings to put before you when it comes to salvation. But before I do that again, in our text tonight, I hope I can cover verse 12 to 14. But I hope also you have noticed the question at the end of verse 11. Look at it. It is in front of you. In verse 11, just the end, and with the great and very terrible day of the Lord, Joel says, who can abide? Who can stand that day? Where will you be? What would you bring before the living God on that day? And my dear friends, Joel speaks to us about the nature of true repentance, the nature of true faith, genuine faith, not phony faith. But he speaks to us also about the incentives why you and me should find the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I have lost you so far, simple questions. Joel is given to us the how should I believe, the how should I repent, But he gives us also the why. Why should I repent? So, first of all, look at verse 12. Joel tells us about the urgency. The urgency. It is urgent. Please don't delay it. Look at the verse. Verse 12. And Joel tells us there, therefore, also now. Now. Immediately. Don't delay it. Don't postpone it. Don't put it for another time. And certainly don't waste your time. Oh, my friends, if I could implant this in your mind tonight, don't stay at the periphery of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people do. They stay just at the outskirts. I come into the church, I hear the gospel, but I'm just somebody who commutes to Christ. But you see, when it comes to salvation, Bible says, I have to be in Christ, not at the outskirts, not at the periphery. I have to find the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes and lives in me. And Bible says, from that time when Christ is in me, I am also in him. And you see, the verses are so clear, Joel put before us. Oh, my dear friends, why do I need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ even now? Because we, every one of us, you and me, we have walked away from God. We have rebelled against God. And you see, when you go through what Joel is telling us, I didn't want to mention to you the locust invasion. There is a grasshopper's invasion in the book of Joel. And I can tell you in my short and simple life, twice in my life I have seen the invasion of locusts into a land. Within few hours it leaves nothing, devastation and desolation. Why am I telling you this? Your soul is being besieged. The army of grasshoppers are at hand. You like it or not, your soul is a prey. And that is why in every gospel sermon, we plead with you, do something, ask the Lord, even now. Don't wait until another time. Reason with your soul. You know, I should say to my soul, now or never. That's really what the challenge Joel is given to us. My soul, find the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Repent before him. Seek for salvation. And you shall find it. Because God is a loving, kind God. And he likes to give salvation to those who are seeking after him. Seek refuge in God. And that's why Joel gives us this challenge. It is inclusive, as you can see. We didn't read the text, but when you come to verse 16, verse 17, Joel is calling everyone. Everyone. Children are mentioned there. New wedded men and women, husbands and wives are mentioned there. Farmers are mentioned. Drunkards are mentioned. Religious leaders are mentioned, elders are mentioned, the seniors are mentioned, the priests are mentioned. Everyone should be seeking after the Lord for salvation. Don't let the locust eat up your soul. Don't postpone it to another day. My dear friends, why wait for 2x4? While you can awake and weep before the Lord for your sins. My dear friends, before I come to my second heading, awake and weep over your sins right now. Nothing is more important, and nothing should take the priority of finding the Lord Jesus Christ. Do nothing else until this is done. So that's the first thing. There is urgency. And Joel says, and remember, it is God who is saying, look at the verse again. Therefore also now, said the Lord. Now you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not know how many years, especially the young ones, they think, oh, we are so young, we have all life before us. I can, when I start to get old, when I'm older, then that will be the time I will start to seek after the Lord. But that's not the case. That's not the challenge put before us by Joel. He says, now. It is now. That's the most important thing, to seek after the Lord. But the second thing, look at the verse again. In verse 13, he gives us the how. What manner, what kind of repentance God is seeking after you and me. And it's there in verse 12. Therefore also now, said the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. How should, what kind of repentance God is seeking for salvation? It must be with all your heart. With all your heart. My dear friends, half repentance will not do. Moderate repentance will not do. The turning must be total. And of course, I believe everyone has already understood that when he says turn, it means repent. Repent, that you turn. You are heading to perdition, but you hear the gospel of redeeming grace. You are awakened. You awaken from the sleep. And you want to find the Lord. You want him to quicken your soul. You want him to give you salvation. That's the meaning, really, of repenting. But you see, Joel says, turn to God. Not to self. Not to even a religion. And may I say, God is not saying, turn to the church to save you. The church cannot save you. The pastor cannot save you. The pope cannot save you. The cardinal, the archbishop, nobody can save you. That's why the verse says, you see in the verse 12, God says, turn to me. Turn unto the Lord. The Lord only can save your soul and give you that precious salvation. And it means be sincere with all your heart. Mean what you think and mean what you say. Because repentance is the pointing finger not to God but to self. I realize I have offended my Creator. My sins, I'm grieved because of my sins. They're horrible. I hate them. I could see the pollution, the damage they have done in my life. And now I hear that there is a loving God. My dear friends, you know, there is something which is so, I just cannot understand it when somebody rejects God. You are rejecting the only person who really loves you. Husbands, you can be loved by your wives. Wives can love their husband. The children can be loved by their parents. But I can tell you, when you find the Lord Jesus Christ, his love is nothing in comparison to any earthly love, any filial love, any familial love, nothing in comparison. But you see, in our rebellious state, we are rejecting the only one who can give us happiness. This is what I cannot understand. We are rejecting the only one who really loves us. So, my dear friends, God says it is urgent. But to find God, you have to be sincere. Not half-hearted. Wholeheartedly. I must repent from my pride. I must repent from my arrogance, I must repent from my selfishness, I must repent from my rebellion. And I cry unto the Lord, O Lord, be merciful unto me. Help me, awake my soul again. Show me my sins. Help me to repent. Give me faith, Lord. I want to trust in thee, but left to myself, I'm in a battle. And I can tell you again, in my small life, I have seen many, many seekers who are battling. I want to find the Lord. It is a battle. But if you come to the Lord wholeheartedly, he said you will find him. But that leads me to the third heading I have from the verse. And it is here in verse 13. Here you see the crisis. There is a crisis. There will never be conversion in a person's life without a crisis. Do you see the crisis there? In verse 13 it says, rend your heart, not your garment. And this needs a very short explanation. In the Old Testament, it was a custom. When people wanted to show their remorse, they rented their garment. They rip it up. That's the way they wanted to show their repentance or their remorse. But you see here, God says there is no outward expression. There is no outward action you can do to be saved. That's why you never heard us saying to anyone, lift up your hand or come to the front. There is no action you can do in order to be saved. But don't misunderstand me. There must be a crisis within. Look at the words back in verse 12, where Joel speaks about, in verse 12, he speaks about fasting, weeping, and mourning in your soul. These are the equivalents, not something you are called to do outwardly, because there is no outward show that will please to God. There are things that are happening in your soul. I fast, I deprive myself from food. You see, the priority is not the body. I weep over my sins. I mourn as if I'm in bereavement. I'm in a funeral. I have lost myself. And I must weep, I must mourn, and I must fast. That's the equivalence of the crisis, the spiritual crisis happening within, in your soul. It's not about fasting to lose weight, but I must deprive myself. And actually, there is something important here. The people in the Old Testament were only commanded to fast one day, a whole year. In one year, they are called for a day of fasting, and that day is called the Day of Atonement. But guess what? When it comes to the judgment of God, when it comes to repentance, when it comes to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, God is inviting us. Even now, don't wait for that Day of Atonement. This is your day. This is the day of salvation. I come to the Lord Jesus Christ now, and I receive the salvation and the forgiveness of my sins. My dear friends, may I challenge you. I'm an ordinary preacher, you know that. But may I challenge you, ask the Lord tonight to break your stony heart with the hammer of his word, the word of salvation. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ tonight to melt your heart with the fire of his word. And if you mean it, rip up your heart and nothing external. That's why you heard us saying this many times, where you are sitting now, in the secret of your heart, call upon the Lord. Oh Lord, I need thee. I need salvation. But look now, the fourth thing I want to put before you. If I have lost you again, we said the first thing is the urgency. I need it now. No way to postpone it. No delay. And the second, it must be wholeheartedly, with my whole heart. But the third, there must be that crisis within, fasting, mourning, and weeping. I weep about my sins, and I ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me. Because he died on the cross of Calvary. He paid the price there for me to trust in him and to receive the forgiveness, which no man can give me on this world. But the fourth thing I want to put before you, it's amazing. Look at it. Now we come to the how. We said the how. How can I repent? How can I find salvation? And now, why should you repent? Why should you repent? Verse 13, and it says there, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. My dear friends, to repent means I can trust God's unchanging character. Unchanging character. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is slow to anger. But he is also kind. And you see, I mentioned those four attributes given to us here because all these attributes have been greatly expressed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross of Calvary. Remember that the cross of Calvary is the greatest expression of God's love to this human race. And that's why you want to know what is love? Don't look at the world. In the world, love is lust. But look at the cross of Calvary. That's where the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, came and shed his blood, dying for the unrighteous ones, us, the blameless, without sin, suffering on that cross to bring you and me to full repentance and to the forgiveness of sins. My dear friends, this is amazing. God is not just there to beat us. Some people, even some preachers, they only speak about judgment, judgment, about hell. But no, God is not just there sitting, waiting one day to beat us up. Bible says he is not willing that any one of us should perish. But his condition is that I may seek after him. I may cry for him, to him, for salvation. And his feeling full heart is a magnet to our souls. My dear friends, before I close, you know that every believer in this congregation can witness something. Before, and if I could speak of my own testimony, I have rented willfully, deliberately, my soul, my heart to the devil. Willingly. But now you see, it is amazing. God says, instead of renting my heart to the devil, I rend my heart to God, the Savior. Be glad and grateful that God is slow to anger and ready and willing to forgive. But I cannot close without telling you just a little bit about verse 14, because there is something amazing there. Oh, the urgency of repentance and salvation. It is urgent. But it must be wholeheartedly if I want God to save me. There must be a crisis. I'm a wretched sinner. I sense that. I weep about it. And I cry for God to save me. But I remember God does it because of his unchanging character, his unchanging nature, his attributes. And all those attributes have been fully manifested and displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. But verse 14 requires you and me must depend. I have to stress on that. We must depend on God, not on our feelings. And in verse 14, you find that question asked, or a statement. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Who knoweth? My dear friends, God does not play a game with us. He will never change his mind, but he will change his dealings with us. If you come to him tonight, God is immutable. He will never change. But he can change his dealings with you. He already changed them. Why? You mean it? God meant it before the foundation of this world. And he said, Please, there are three verses I want you to underline as I close. Three verses in Joel chapter 2. The first one is verse 25. Look at what God is going to do to you if you come to Him tonight. Three great promises God is given to you. In verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Then verse 28, and it shall come to us afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And verse 32, look at verse 32, which is quoted in the New Testament. And there, the promise is fulfilled in your life if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And in the New Testament it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, my dear friends, Joel, in his prophecy, said here, who knows? Who knows if God will not turn to you tonight? This is exactly what the king of Nineveh, you remember in the book of Jonah, it's in chapter 3, the king there, Jonah came into the city of Nineveh and he said, in 40 days the city is going to be destroyed. But the prophet said, if you repent, and the king said, let everyone put ashes and sackcloth. And in verse 9, the king said, who knows, who can tell if God is not going to be favorable to us today? And guess what? The city of Nineveh was spared. God did not destroy the city. Why? Because everyone in that city repented and trusted on the message of Jonah. So tonight, who knows? God knows. Who knows? You remember, I have so many examples to give you, just to give you the certainty. There is that great certainty that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, He knows that you are going to be saved. You remember the blind man in John chapter 9? He was asked, bombarded with many questions, but at the end he said, I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. But look again in verse 14. And who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? You know the blessing God is going to leave behind him for you and me? Salvation. Salvation is going to be the blessing. Oh, I know I didn't do justice to these verses. But guess what? You don't have to put any ashes or sackcloth. If you come, Christ is going to clothe you with His own righteousness. So may I challenge you tonight, turn away from your sins. Turn to God. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is long-suffering, slow to anger. But He is also a kind God. Oh, come to Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon His name, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we are safe in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, do not leave us to ourselves, leaving this place as if there was no gift, as if there was no Savior on the cross of Calvary, pleading with us to come to Him to receive the free forgiveness of sins. O Lord, visit us again. Bless that seeker. Bless that man who is after Thee, Lord. We pray that Thou will come and open Thy hands to receive each one of us. O Lord, bless us again. We ask these mercies in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close our time together.